Hi, this is Pirate Davy Jones of PiratePods.com. Today I'm speaking with Squeaky of Fabulous Disaster and the Razor Burns. How are you doing, Squeaky?
I'm good. It's beautiful here in San Francisco, so having a great day so far.
Could you tell me your story? Tell me a little bit about yourself. I understand you originally come from back east.
Yes, I'm originally from the East Coast. I was born in New York, and I lived all up and down the coast, New York, in Baltimore, Maryland, Richmond, Virginia, spent many a day in Ohio, just a bunch of places I've jumped back and forth through. And then I moved out to California about 3.5 years ago.
Do you notice the difference between the two places? I mean, of course, there are marked differences in the seasons and such, but...
Yeah, absolutely. The West Coast, California, is totally laid back. East Coast is constantly go, 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 and everybody's very honest. And out here, honesty is in, like, honesty equals mean. I don't get it. But everyone here is just so laid back, and so we, like, chill, and I'm too impatient. Which comes from living on the East Coast, but I don't know, I like it. It's made me a little more laid back. I don't get anxiety attacks.
Was it always your dream to be a guitarist and a songwriter? And I mean, before this, what did you think you'd be, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I never saw myself being anything other than a musician. I remember, I was just telling my best friend the other day, I used to put on my Joe Jackson 7-inch to the song Stepping Out, and I put on my christening outfit and dance around and, like, play air guitar. And I thought I was just, I thought I was a genius then. And then when I just remember always, you know, my whole family are musicians, so I'd always pick up my father's guitar or his piano and or get behind his drums. And I just always played. So when I was, I think it was, like, officially when I was, like, 14, you know, everybody else is doing their getting ready for college and what right. are they going to do? And I was just like, I don't need college. I'm going to be a musician. I wow. regret it now. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't regret any of it. But yeah, always knew I'd be a musician. Wow. Always wanted to be a songwriter. So
it's certainly one of those things that was meant to be.
Yeah, it had to be. I don't know what I would do if I didn't play music. I'd probably be a serial killer. I'm too aggro.
Yeah, certainly music.
I'd probably be a boxer.
Oh, wow, really? Right
I'd
on.
Love to be a boxer. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Knock the shit out of people. It'd be awesome.
You know, could you tell me a little bit about Viva La Prozac? I know that that you've written some songs, and you know, you're currently the songwriter for the band as well.
Well, me and Linda... Mm-hmm. Me and Linda write the majority of me. Sally, our drummer, also writes a large amount. Actually, the very first record, no, the second record, I was not on it, but I believe Sally, she was the main songwriter for that record. But the song you're speaking of, Viva La Prozac, that was written by Linda. I believe in its entirety it was written by Linda. So I can't speak too much on that song, but it pretty much is exactly what it sounds like. It's a song about coming out of depression.
A lot of people can relate to that, for sure.
It's pretty fun. I like that song. It's all whopping four chords. I love it. It's like the easiest song to play live.
Hey, could you tell me what your victory song is?
Off our new record, the second track is called Final Stab. And it's probably one of my favorite... Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs that I've written.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got to share it with Fabulous Disaster, because they, you know, they do the song well, and it's just, it's a very emotional song for me. But, you know, I couldn't imagine playing it with any other people other than those girls.
Give me a little background on that song, what it means to you. I mean, certainly it's your victory song, right?
Well, it's about an old friend of mine who I no longer speak to, but I will always very, very deeply care about them. And it's just kind of talking about how just how kind of space, you know, and distance can kind of, you know, it's always that bullshit where, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
That's right.
In retrospect, I kind of feel like it pulled us apart.
Able to tell us a little bit about the next release? I believe it's called, the next album, if I'm not mistaken, is called Love at First Sight. Is that correct?
It's called Love at First Sight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's released on Ice Cream Records.
Wow.
They've been around for many, many years. There are a huge label in Europe, but they just actually came to the States, I think, a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and we knew of them just because we're always in Europe. Ah. I always heard of Ice Cream Records, and we were looking for a new label for this release, because the last two had come out on Fat, and it was just kind of time for a change. And with Ice Cream, they target everything from pop punk. They have tons of hardcore bands. They have metal bands. They have total pop bands,
right,
indie rock bands, emo bands. So it was kind of like it's wider.
It's a
wider spectrum rather than just like the pop punk genre, which I respect. I think is great, but
right.
But you know, I don't even really listen to pop punk. I play it.
Right.
But I don't even listen to it that much. But I was wanting a different target, like all the girls did. And anyway, so Ice Cream Records has been amazing with us. They gave us total creativity. They've just been a joy to work with.
Oh, great! I like what you say too. I mean, with respect to punk rock and the change from the Fat label to Ice Cream, the whole deal with that too. I mean, that in many respects, that's what punk is about, right? Is that, you know, is the ability to expand and become creative, right? We're not part of being in a box. I mean, you know.
Oh, I agree completely.
Yeah, we're repackaging it every day, and for better or for worse. But you know, what it's all about is expansion. So hey, I like that. Hey, good going on the new direction. Best of luck.
Awesome.
So, here's one of the things. I need to know what your favorite AC/DC song is. And is Angus Young...
My favorite AC/DC song?
Yeah, and is Angus Young really an influence?
He is a huge influence. It's, you know, I always liked AC/DC, and I always thought they were a great band, but the more I started being, I don't want to say serious, because I've always been serious, but, you know, when I first... up a guitar, I learned songs and I played them, and I liked AC/DC, I duplicate it. But then the more I heard Angus Young speaking about his guitar playing, and he'd always speak about his brother. Whenever people would interview him and want to talk about his leads and how, you know, how tasteful they are, and, you know, he's just a great showman. He's so energetic on stage, and so I steal a lot of that from him. You know, it's not all about pinpointing your notes. It's giving a good show at the same time, and I'm just an energetic person. and that's my only way to express it when I have a guitar in my hand. But when I read this interview, and it was asking Angus Young about his leads, and he was just like, oh, well, you have to talk to my brother. He writes all that stuff for me. And I was like, okay, well, that's really cool. Like, he went ahead and just gave back to his brother. And then the more I read the interview, the more he was just, every time he was asked a question, he always talked so highly on his brother. And I just thought that was awesome because Angus Young, when you think AC/DC, you think Angus Young.
Of course.
But here, that man, yeah, that man's giving everybody else in his band respect and not even talking about himself. He's getting asked about questions, and he's like, well, Malcolm, blah, blah, blah. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was this guy knows who he is. He's comfortable enough with who he is where he doesn't need to keep having someone float his boat. He's happy to give everybody else in his band the acknowledgement that they should have. Also, they were talking about how, like, in being in the studio, and he admittedly said, well, I cheat when I'm in the studio. When I play leads, I tape down all my other strings so I don't accidentally hit them. And I was just like, I read that, and I was like, I love this man.
Yeah.
My favorite AC/DC song, that's so hard. I cannot answer that.
Which album, right?
Yeah, it's Highway to Hell is probably my favorite record.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Hey, that's a good one. That's a good start. Wow.
Yeah. I'll just say that record.
Have you noticed a marked change in the punk scene these days, you know, versus just the past 10 years, for instance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm only 26. When I was 10, I lived in Richmond, Virginia. I was 16-year-old. I was a 16-year-old going to all these punk rock shows. And all those kids were, you know, 18 and up, and you know, I had to get, you know, I get snuck into shows, and I, you know, I just remember thinking how great everything felt because I was 16 and I was hanging out with 26-year-olds. They didn't care of my age. They were just like, dude, she's a musician. She's always at shows, and it was just like this big kind of family.
Yeah.
And then it kind of teetered. And I don't know if this was just on the East Coast, because it changed when I moved to the West Coast. On the East Coast, it got really, like, competitive.
Wow.
I think music is, I don't understand how music can be competitive, but I found it being super, well, you didn't come to my show, so I'm not coming to your show.
Wow.
Where back in the day, it was like, everyone just went to their friend's shows, and your shows were just full of your friends, you know? There might be 15 people at the show you didn't know, but there were 100 people there you did know.
Yeah.
And then I noticed it started changing. And honestly, that's one reason why I left the East Coast. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
And I heard many good things about San Francisco and the Bay Area. So when I moved here, I joined Fabulous Disaster only 3 months after moving to California.
Oh.
And yeah, and then after that, you know, I've been involved in many bands, you know, one that, you know, you already spoke of, the Razor Burns, and it was such a change.
Yeah.
It was back, like, I was 16 again. My friends were coming to shows. I, you know, it was just, you were playing shows with your friends.
Yeah.
Back on the East Coast, you'd be put on a bill where you didn't know any of these people, and it's not like you became friends. They just went, played their set, and left. And now, yeah, out here, it's, you know, you play a show and you're playing with three other bands that are totally your friends. So you're kind of, you know, when it comes actually that you have to get on stage, you're kind of like, oh, man, but I was just hanging out with so-and-so. It becomes like a big party. And playing music is just a minor part of that big party. It's really cool. I'm enjoying the Bay Area right now.
Oh, wow.
It's definitely a good place to be to play music, I think.
Glad to hear that. I imagine that adds a new dimension to playing the music, right? I mean, knowing that there's that camaraderie there.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here is a question for you, silly one. Do you believe in old age in treachery or youth in skill?
What kind of question is that? I believe in both.
Oh, right on. Yes. You passed. And these days, you know, could you tell me where you get the most inspiration from?
As far as my songwriting, I get the most inspiration just from all the fucked up shit I went through. And wow. I'm still going through. It's just life itself. That's wow. totally my inspiration. Wow. The inspiration I get from to actually play music comes from the people I play music with. They keep me going.
Now, that's good. Isn't that how it should be, you know, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You've got... That's when you're making real music, I believe. I mean, in my heart, I believe this, you know, and I grew up listening to all kinds of music, and I'll die listening yeah. to it. But one of the things I understood at a very young age is that, you know, in order to make that music, or, you know, and that, you know, we, even the listener, okay, I'm not a musician, but I'm certainly a listener, and it would touch me in a way because I understood that the person who took the time to make it was adding that pain, that happiness, despair, mm-hmm. hope, all basically all the shit the musician went through in order to make
Absolutely.
That. And you get different facets of that in the song. It's not easily identifiable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't, I mean, you know, to sit and analyze it may be a bit much, but I know it's there. When you're no longer around, you know, we're all going to pass away one of these days.
Right. I'm never going to die. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm never going to die.
Right on.
I'm here forever.
All right.
I'm like a cockroach.
Good to hear.
Shit, half my friends would probably say I'm like a cockroach. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, in any case, while you're still on this earth, what would you like? Which song would you like people to remember you by?
I want people to remember me by.
Doesn't have to be your own, you know. Could be.
Doesn't have to be my own?
Ooh. Yeah.
Damn. It's funny because I actually had a friend once put together a CD for me, mm-hmm. and he called it the soundtrack of your life, and it was every song where he said when I died, he would make a movie of me, wow. and those are all the songs that would be on my soundtrack. So that's what that makes me think of. There's actually a song by the Velvet Underground.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, it's a song called Pale Blue Eyes.
Right on. Excellent yeah. song. Excellent. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, can you tell me a little bit about the Razorburns? What direction are you going in with them, and how are things going in that endeavor?
That band is a lot of fun. Let's see, we started playing, God, less than a year ago now. I played with my singer and guitar player in a previous band. Yeah. And when that band didn't work out, mm-hmm. we got together with the drummer that also played with us. And a good friend of mine, his name is Theo, was, like he passed away. His name is Theo, and we got together, and we were just like, yeah, we'll just do some cool stuff. We'll play some shows. And we did a record, and we were lucky enough to do it with the wonderful and amazing Jack and Dino up in Seattle.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was an honor for me. And so we got to do it with him, and we thought that we would just do a couple local shows here and there, and mainly just to have fun, an excuse to hang out and drink, I guess.
Right.
And and then we were actually taken seriously. We were like, wait, whoa, 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 what's this? We didn't really expect it, and it's actually been a lot of fun. We play a lot of great shows. We've, you know, gone on the road and done light trips, and the record just came out in January, the end of January, and it's been a lot of fun, and we plan on touring late summer. You know, we're still doing like kind of Bay Area stuff and West Coast stuff till then, but yeah, it's a blast.
Good to hear.
Very cool. Yeah.
Great to hear.
And
that's the way it should be, right? You should be having fun, right?
Oh, absolutely. You should not be in a band that's not fun.
Yeah, right. Well, as a general rule, we have any musician, artist, activist that we talk to give their best pirate impression. So I'll ask you to do that, if you can. All right, or at the very least, if you can give us a pirate arg.
I'll come covering one eye for you. I got a peg leg. Does that work?
Right on. That's close enough.
I can do an arg for you.
All right.
I've got Dana from the Razor Burns on the couch here laughing at me.
She could join us.
She loved it. She loved it. Don't put on a bra, Dana.